have your program, I'd like you to turn to the very back of your program. And on the back of your program, you'll find message and outline we're going to follow very closely today. The very back of your program, you'll find the scripture and the outline we're going to follow very closely on today. Our scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 22, and then Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, and they're from the New International Version. I'm going to read them in your hearing. And it reads, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him, Jesus, to the Lord God the Father in the temple. Ephesians 2, 20 through 22, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together, become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So I want to talk to you today from this subject, presentation of Christ in the temple. A little over 2,000 years ago, it is believed that it was on this day, approximately 40 days after the birth of Jesus Christ. So some say 38 days, some say 39, some say 40. And it was around this time that Jesus Christ in the flesh was presented in the temple for the first time. It was in the flesh, his first time going into the temple. And it was a significant thing for Christians, and they later figured out the time, figured out the day, and that's why we celebrate it today. It is the official presentation of Jesus Christ in the flesh brought into the temple. And it is significant because each one of us at some point were brought into the presence of God. And so I want to try to lift up a few things that happened and point out why it's important to come to church, why church is important. They did this for Jesus Christ at his birth, and then he developed into the Savior that will save the whole world. And I think God is still bringing people to church that he might develop us. I'm trying to bring this out in the text today. It tells us here, verse 22, Luke 2, 22, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed. So their purification is what I want to talk about for just a few moments. And in the first part of your outline, one, number one says, the time of their, I want you to write in, purification. The time of their purification. This is important because Jesus Christ himself says, blessed are the pure in heart. So if you become pure in heart, then he says, Jesus says, you will see God. You'll see God in your life. You'll see the power of God. You'll see how God will protect. You'll see how God will provide. You'll see how God will make a way out of no way. God will do some amazing things if you will see him in your life. But only the pure in heart will see him. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. And God is going to be at work whether you see him or not. But if you want to see him, you want to get a taste of his power, then you're going to have to get your heart right. If you get your heart right, then God will start getting everything else right in your life. But he leaves it to you to decide whether you'll get your heart right. And so, and Jesus says, a man thinks in his heart. He thinks in his spirit. So is he. So you start thinking, I want to be pure. Then God will start making you pure. You got to want it. You got to say, God, I want this in my life. And then God will start giving you the power to become pure in heart. And when you become pure in heart, then you're going to be able to manifest some of the things that God wants to see done in his world. He's going to use the pure in heart to bring those to pass. And so here, the presentation of Jesus Christ into the temple for the first time. It wasn't him doing it. It was people in his life doing it. It was his parents. Sometimes you may not have a parent that will bring you to church. So then you may have to listen to who else God puts in your life. But there's going to be somebody he puts in your life that will direct you to the house of the Lord. He does that for everybody. Doesn't matter, you could be born in Al Capone's house, the gangster. God's going to find a way to point you to his house. Our God just makes a way. And that's what he promised he'd do. And he made a way for his own son, and he makes a way for you and for me. Our God makes a way. And he gives us the opportunity to be pure in heart. But not only does he do that, the scripture tells us, when Jesus was brought into the temple, I want you to note that when they presented him, and this is important, that as a grown man, Jesus said, this is what happens. And I want you to, you might look this up at home, where Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23, Mark chapter 7, Jesus says, what defiles a man, what defiles a woman, what defiles a young adult or a teenager, what defiles us, what makes us corrupt, is what's inside of us. He goes on and acknowledges this. He says, there are in our hearts evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceits, lewdness, evil eye. I'm not sure what an evil eye is, but whatever it is. It says blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. He said all that is in every human being. It's in the best of us. It's in the worst of us. And only God can help get that out of us. Have anybody ever gave you the evil eye? Well, Jesus says that's just a part of who we are. And God is able to help us overcome who we are. He will get it out of us. But we got to ask him to do it. If you feel like you are all right, then you're not going to make a change. It's the person who says, I know I'm not right. I know I'm not all I could be. God, change me. And God will start changing you right then and there. You got to be willing to yield to him. And so Jesus tells us, that's the second part, recognizing that corruption comes from within. It comes from within. And then he tells us in the scripture here, and I like how they say it here in Luke 2:22, it says they are presenting him to the Lord, God the Father in the temple. They present him. And I want you to look, see, one seed should be present him to the Lord. How are you going to present yourself to the Lord? How are you going to recognize who our God is? It's important for us to recognize we're going to have to stand before the Lord one day. Might be when you're young, might be when you're middle-aged or when you're older. At some point, we're going to have to come into the presence of the Lord. And the Lord wants you and I to present ourselves in a way that God is pleased with. But let me tell you this, and I'll be finished. It is second part of the outline here. It says, we present ourselves built on the foundation of the word. This is how we're supposed to present ourselves. It should be on the foundation of the word. And this foundation of the word is important because it does three things, A, B, and C, and I'll be finished. The first thing it does, and I want you to really get this, is in Ephesians 2:20, it tells us, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. I need you to make sure you write that down. Christ Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone. This is not an angel. This is not a prophet. This is not a preacher. This is not a pastor. This is Christ Jesus himself. That's who we're going to need. Christ Jesus himself. When you have Christ Jesus himself. Now, it's interesting that they put Christ, and this is the Apostle Paul writing. He's very technical in some of his writings. He puts Christ first, Christ, and then he says Jesus, Christ Jesus. And the reason he's doing that specifically is because Christ is before time existed. There's this Christ. In fact, when you read John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. It's just in the beginning. And that's before anything was made. And all that was made by the Word. But Jesus Christ describes himself as being the Word. He is the Logos. He is the Word of God. He is before the beginning. He's not at the beginning. He's before the beginning. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning. But God is before that. In the beginning, and before that beginning started, there was God. Our God then does everything else. And so when he talks to you and I about Christ Jesus, he's talking about the one that was before the beginning. And then he says, Jesus, who does have a specific historical beginning. Jesus started in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. That is the physical historical Christ. The physical historical Jesus actually starts in Bethlehem. But before there was a physical historical Jesus, there was the Christ himself, who was before the beginning, who is eternal, who has no beginning or no end. And it was that Christ who is the chief cornerstone. He is the one that we need to have a relationship with. He is the one that you and I need to be involved with. And so the scripture tells us, read verse 21, Ephesians 2, 21. It says, in him, somebody say in him. It is in him, my brothers and sisters, in him, the whole thing is joined together. And it says in verse 21, we rise to become holy temple of the Lord. In him, you and I rise. There is no rising without him. But in him, you and I can rise to become the holy temple of God. Paul would tell us, and I think I put it there, 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know your body is the temple of the Lord? Your body is supposed to be God's temple. God is supposed to live in your body. But if you got all this other stuff Jesus talked about in Mark 7, you got lewdness and fornication and adultery, you got evil eye and evil thoughts, you got all that, then God won't live in you. He's not going to live where sin abides. You got to make a choice. Which one you going to let live with you? And if you will choose Jesus Christ, he will become the chief cornerstone, as the scripture says, and then he will come and he will make you rise. You arise. Do you want to rise in your life? Do you want to get bigger, stronger, taller, more of what God wants you to be? Then you need to have Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in him we will be built up to rise to become what he wants us to be. It's in him. Then it tells, that's in verse 21, and then verse 22 says, again, in him, somebody say in him. He says in verse 21, and he says it again in verse 22, in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God's spirit will reside. God wants his spirit to live in you. God's desire is to be with you every moment of your life. God's desire is that he would live with you. Now, most Christians, God does visit with us. And I like people to come visit, but whenever anybody comes visit my house, I start looking at my watch. How long are they going to be here? My sons come by. Dad, I just dropped by. I'm just looking at my watch. I'm sorry. It's just a habit I have. I don't mean no offense. Just a habit I get. How long are you going to be here? But Jesus Christ says, when he's not coming to visit, he's coming to live. He's going to stay there. And he wants you and I to welcome him in. Welcome him into our lives. That's not a visitor. That's somebody who's going to reside with you. Somebody who's going to stay there. And if you want Christ to stay there, you have to invite him in. He does want to live with you, but you got to make the decision whether you invite him in. And I hope and pray today that you will make that decision to let Jesus Christ come in. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me? Maybe somebody here today wants to invite Jesus Christ in. That be you. You can make it at the bottom of your program there. Say, my decision today. You put that in the offering plate. Or you can come forward. It's your decision. I pray that you will make the decision to invite Christ in. Man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, young adult, senior citizen, whoever you might be, you're welcome in the house of the Lord. It's the Lord's house. You are welcome. You are welcome. Offering. Gracious God, how grateful and thankful we are. We ask that you will continue now to bless each person that gave and each person that had a desire to give. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're ready for our last act of worship today, which is our Holy Communion. You get your communion cup in your hand. Thank you for reminding me. Has everybody been served? Anyone need communion that would like to have it? You don't have it and want to have it, please raise your hand so we can get it to you. All right, everyone that wants to have it has it. Then let us all stand. Come on, ladies, you can lift it through the lifting of the veil. The scripture tells us that the veil was lifted, rent in two, so that everybody would have access to our God. But we lift this veil every first Sunday. We lift it as a symbol that everybody has access to the body of Christ. We're going to sing a verse. I know it was the blood. The choir lead us. Broken for us, his body broken for us. Let us eat all of it. eat it. Let the church say amen. Now, if you will lift the next tab, which is the fruit of the vine, the scripture tells us that his blood did come streaming down from the cross. So we lift up the fruit of the vine, symbolizes his blood that was shed for us. Let us drink all of it. Let the church say amen. God bless you all. You're dismissed.